Hey everyone, Tawny here. I am so excited to share that my husband and I launched a non-alcoholic beverage called Parentheses. It's technically two drinks, a before and an after. The before uses herbs that stimulate the senses, and the after uses herbs that calm the senses. Head to drinkparentheses.com and follow us at drinkparentheses.
Hey everybody. Welcome. It is Lisa, and I am here with my queen, goddess, potus BFF.
It's your girl, Tawny. What's up, you guys?
I have to say that if you ever have the opportunity to meet Tawny's husband, Nick, please ask him to imitate Tawny doing that, because he does the best Tawny imitation it's the imitation I didn't know I needed in my life, but I do.
It's, I just a brief history of that. What's up, you guys? It's just me and my friend started doing it like years ago, making fun of YouTubers. Like, hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome to my channel. Click subscribe. Like, it's just,
I'm the subscribe button.
Yes, exactly. Leave a comment. Yeah, I like to poke fun and be very aware, you know.
I love that. But I love that.
But I digress. So, let's get back to the app.
To the app. So we wanted to talk about going into 2024, which, is going to be what I think we and many people believe is going to be a super challenging year. And I think we mentioned briefly in an episode before, you know, we love tarot, and 2023 was a chariot year in which we were shedding what no longer served us, kind of like losing baby teeth. And 2024, the card that represents 2024 is the Strength card. And that is a very different vibe, right? So the Strength card is something that is on the card. It's, and we've talked about this before, it's a lion, and it's a young woman, you know, very, she's kind of delicate looking, but she's standing over the lion and holding his head, like petting him. Like, she has conquered the hard stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and she's, you know, tamed the lion, made peace with the lion, but it's through sort of showing up. And I think that is a good energy to think about. For me, like the showing up thing, I've always loved the term showing up in recovery, mm-hmm. because I remember the first time I heard it was like a light bulb over my head. Like, oh my God, that's a thing. Like, showing up is an actual thing, and I can do that. And I never mm-hmm. could do that. You know, I couldn't show up to the hospital when my niece was born. So, you know, it is always a big thing in recovery. And I think in this coming year, you know, we have a lot to show up for, and there's going to be a lot to show up for. And, you know, we are, Tawny and I, as we mentioned, we have our card deck coming out in 2024, Ooh. And we will be showing up for that. But I think it's, you know, we typically don't dive deep into politics here, but we are going to be fighting for a lot of human rights, showing up for, you know, other people, showing up for our democracy, and, you know, having to be, you know, go into a feeling of strength. We can do this, right? We can do the hard stuff. And I think, you know, you don't have to believe like there's anything to the tarot stuff. I mean, I use it as sort of a nice context to think about things in, rather than like a written law, right? It's something to make me think like, oh, this year I can approach, look at this. This is an interesting way to think about approaching the year, like showing up in what is going to be, you know, this is going to be the most divisive political year any of us have lived in, and this election and all of that, and knowing, and everything else in our family, in our families, you know, the people we need to show up for, the work we need to show up for, all of this. And I like the idea of showing up in a way that, you know, feeling like there's a strength vibe in the air, that we can do this. We got to show up.
I mean, we can do hard things, you know, that's a popular yes. line. And I think that really embodies the strength card of we can do hard things. And sometimes the hardest thing really is showing up. And, you know, it could be something as big as, you know, showing up to the polls and voting. It could also mm-hmm. mean, you know, they say the hardest part of working out is getting to the gym. You right. know, it's you once you're there, you're going to go to the class. You're going to do what you came to do. But mm-hmm. walking there, driving there, that's the hardest part. So whatever showing up looks like for you, you know, showing up for if a friend calls and you really don't want to talk on the phone, but you know that like hearing their voice might make you feel a little bit better and pull you out of your own shit. Answer the phone, you know, like,
yeah. And maybe they need you. Maybe they're calling exactly. because they need you.
Get out of your head and, you know, showing up and just talking to someone else. It could really, really help. So because, you know, we're talking about tarot, I wanted to read the prompts from the strength card in the New York City tarot deck.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think
about
that?
Tell them about the New York City tarot.
So this is I'm obsessed with this tarot deck. It's called NYC
it's
Tarot.
So cool. It's unbelievable.
It's so fun. It's written
she sent it to me.
I did. I sent you a little surprise.
And I love it. I love it.
So if you are familiar with New York City at all, I think you'd really appreciate this deck. It's written by Bess Matassa and the artwork is by Clara Kirkpatrick. I heard about this because our good friend Ruby Warrington, who's a friend of the pod, coined the term sober curious, literal game changer. Her friend Bess made this card deck. So what she did is she turned, you know, the traditional cards into New York City landmarks it's so brilliant. It's so well done. And each suit represents something that's very specific to New York. So I wanted to read a couple of the prompts from the strength card in the New York City tarot deck, which I think it's kind of funny. The strength card is the bodega cat, Lisa.
Oh my gosh. That is. See, I would have put that more. I would have had a different card for that, but I love it. I love it. The bodega cat.
What would you have done?
For the bodega cat? I would put bodega cat as like Queen of Wands or the High Priestess okay. or something.
Yeah, I could see that. So each of the cards have little prompts. So I was just going to read a few of them. How can I go first in my life? What does vulnerability look like for me? Where might I be resisting revealing my true feelings? And why? How could I share more of my heart in this moment? So I like these. Rewind and journal on these, meditate on these prompts. And then I'm going to read this little blurb, just some action items that she gives you. So she says, explore strength through situations that coax you forward and encourage earnestness. Have heart to hearts with friends, play with children or pets. In New York City, see where you can let your guard down and choose candor, whether it's pulling out your headphones and actually listening to the people around you, smiling at a stranger before you avert your gaze, or visiting a dog park or cat cafe. So it's really just calling you to be present, engage with the world around you when the time feels right. We are all about self-preservation. Don't get me wrong. That's why I laughed when she said to pull out your headphones, because I was like, I'm not doing that. It really is. She's saying what you're saying, Lisa. She's saying, show up. How can I go first in my life? I really like that phrasing.
I think that is an amazing, that's my favorite of them all. Yeah. I love them. I love them. But that question, how many of us have ever asked ourselves that?
I've never have.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, and, you know, it's also to me, I think there's always the element of when you think about like, how can I go first in my life? It's also, can I in this moment go first in my life? Because that's not always going to be a yes. Like so many of us care for, you know, sick family members, elderly family members, small children, or whatever, whoever. We have to really show up first, you know, in a way for others. But you can also say, okay, I've got this. I can't go first in the respect of I need to go help this person or I need to go show up for this other thing instead of taking a walk right now. But how can I go first? You know, what will I do for myself later?
Yeah.
Or, you know, how can I, in going first, I feel like when you can't do it because you have to show up for somebody else, I think you can still treat that as going first in a way because it's service. Right. And I feel like, you know, when we do service, that's my biggest, you know, that's when I get the most gratification. But also it is, I can sometimes we get caught up in stuff. Like when I was with my mom, I was always taking care, you know, like running out there, being with her, doing this, doing that. And, you know, there were a lot of times that I resented the shit out of that I was like, you know, whatever. And it was hard. And I wish that in that moment, I could have reminded myself how it was service, how it was in fact for me too. It wasn't just for them.
It is. And it's, I mean, we always say, you know, the whole putting your oxygen mask on first, you know, there are times when I've picked up the phone and I've been like, fuck, I'm in my head. I'm like, I'm not in the headspace to handle this. I shouldn't have picked up, you know? So it really is a balance of self-assessing and knowing what showing up looks like for you. And I want to say, I'm going to get political. Is that okay?
Yeah. Knock yourself out. I mean, listen, we don't, you know, we don't typically do that, but there's a lot that is, you know, just on the line.
There's a lot at stake. And
there's everything at stake. There's everything at stake.
Everything is at stake. And I've learned from the last two presidential elections. I know that on a personal level, I cannot handle another Trump campaign. I can't. 2016 took me out. 2020 took me out, took everyone out. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. But I know that for me, self-preservation during this year, I'm going to have to figure out how much news I can take in, how much social media I can take in, and be strategic about what showing up looks like. I can't go to every protest. I can't, you know, like you and I are very political people and activists. We are activists and advocates. And I don't know. I'm just being very frank. I don't know how I'm going to cope with seeing him all the time again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big challenge. I mean,
hearing his voice, seeing him and what he, and it's not just him as a person, it's what he stands for. And it's his campaign. And it is a campaign of hate and ignorance. And those are two things that boil my blood. So it's not, it's not just a Trump specific vendetta. It is anyone who does not believe that people deserve to be treated equally. I don't have the energy to even acknowledge that.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell you, you know, because I am always highly engaged in the news and in politics. I've always loved its politics since, you know, from growing up, I was reading the New York Times when I was like 8. I have been, you know, paying attention to this all along. And I have to say, a lot of it didn't change anything. We're still in this moment for all my paying attention and doing what I can do. You know, we're still in this moment. I mute the television when he, you know, comes on. I can't hear his voice. But I'm very alarmed that people aren't alarmed enough about mm-hmm. what this will mean if we don't in 24 stand up for our democracy. I mean, and basic human rights are a piece of that. And it's hard for me. It's hard for me when I hear people not grasping the threat. I mean, he's talking about migrant camps. He's talking about shooting people at the border. He's talking about how, you know, what's in schools, all of these things. And they're all at stake. And for me, I see, because I'm all the legal stuff, like the justice system will be invisible. And I fully believe that if he wins in 2024, it will be the last free and fair election in this country. And, you know, I'm always happy to refer people to stuff to read if they are interested in learning more about that. But it's just a fact. And it's going to be hard for me, I've been feeling anxious about it. I can't even imagine what my anxiety level is going to be like in the summer of 2024. And I think planning ahead to know this is going to be that kind of year and to map out like the things I can do about it for myself, because there's always something that can be done, you know, but not everybody has the availability, the resources mm-hmm. to be involved. I'm fortunate to, so I will. But yeah, I mean, I think we all, and even if you know, everybody's going to have to figure out a way to manage getting through this year in this environment.
Oh, that's so real. And it's, you know, one of the many reasons I love our dynamic is because, you know, you do have the legal perspective and I have a journalistic perspective, and you know, I am just heartbroken at what he has done to journalism.
He will shut down he will put journalists in jail. He has already announced that he wants to do a big investigation of NBC and the content that they put on. I mean,
yeah,
it's authoritarian stuff. No two ways about it.
The misinformation, and like I do so much. A big part of the work that I do is to combat misinformation, because I think that we do need to know more. But we don't, we need to know what we need to know. And we need to be mindful of the content we are consuming. We don't need to know that, like the 24-hour news cycle, we as humans are not evolved to handle that.
Well, we're not supposed to, right?
We're not supposed to. So I'm, you know, as a journalist, it is technically my job to be up to date on the news and what I'm reporting. Yeah. And so I have to be very mindful of what I report on this year, because I don't know that I could do anything hyper political for the sake of self-preservation, like reporting wise, but like, I'm definitely going to amp up how, you know, advocating for, you know, mental health support, LGBT community, people of color, marginalized voices, the gender pay gap, trans voices. I mean, people that are in marginalized communities are largely at risk this year.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And it needs to be talked about. So if you're listening and if this conversation feels very overwhelming to you, it feels overwhelming to us too, which is why we...
Yeah, it is. I've never felt in all my years of, you know, and I started, I've worked on campaigns. I was, you know, done all this. I've never seen an environment like this.
It's a lot. It's really scary. So if you're listening, think of, I mean, obviously you're listening, I guess, right?
But
listeners, just, you know, do what you can to stay informed, but know what you want to be informed about. Give yourself limits. Like, for example, I'm going to have to give myself limits of like how much time I allow myself on Instagram, how much of the New York Times app am I going to let myself read?
Exactly.
You know, it's because in the 24-hour news cycle and with social media, there's always going to be, there's so much new content coming out all the time. And we cannot consume it all.
And it's going to become more and more alarmist, too.
It will.
It's going to be very intense. And I think we just need to plan for that, because it is like, you know, it is going to be like we take all of our recovery one day at a time. And, you know, this is, I am going to be particularly careful myself about watching myself for my tendency to catastrophize everything and assume the worst. And instead of doing that, I'm going to focus my efforts on not catastrophizing, but I'm going to try to be doing something to help youth turnout, because my biggest fear is that young people aren't sufficiently aware or aren't sufficiently motivated, because, you know, Joe Biden is old and all of that. And I get that. But this is about the stakes of the country. This is not about a person. This is not about one person versus another person. It is about one kind of government and one view of, of human rights, equal rights, how, you know, justice is expressed in this country versus another. And if you like democracy and having impartiality and more equality, there's only one way to go. And I worry that young people are not going to be sufficiently motivated. And if they're not, this is the world they're going to have to live with.
And, yeah, it is. I mean, it's, you know, older people vote more. Like, that's just how it is. So vote. There's a MTV did that Rock the Vote campaign to get younger people to vote. I mean, lots of, you know, Alana Glazer is already doing a significant amount of work to get people and fired up to vote. She did her whole comedy, her second to last comedy tour was about getting people to the polls, you know, really getting young people excited to vote. So be mindful of the content you're consuming. Pay for your news. If you can only just afford one subscription, pay for your news, because you will get quality journalism if you can. And if you cannot, listen to podcasts, you know, of, you know, respected journalists. The book you recommended to me, Lisa, Twilight of Democracy, was really great.
Anne Applebaum. I'll put a link in. It's a great book.
It taught me a lot. And it's a quick read, actually.
It is. And she's a great writer, and it's more relevant now than ever. And just a side note is that she's writing about Poland quite a bit and what was going on in Poland. And Poland just rejected their authoritarian candidate in their election and have been moved back into, they saw what was happening, they stopped it. And that's what, you know, we have to try to do here. Do you have a music minute, Tani? I do.
I don't. I'm just angry.
I'm sorry. See, this is the risk. This is the risk, right? You talk about this and then you get worked up. I'm all worked up too.
I need to go listen to Enya. I got to go.
Yeah, you need your, like, what's that band you listen to? Kara.
Krungbin. I need.
Yeah. That's what you need. I would say a good music minute for this one is Springsteen's The Rising.
He
wrote that about coming back after 9/11.
Also, what about Fortunate Son?
Oh, yeah. Fortunate Son. I mean, that's a Vietnam song. Yeah. So.
And Ohio. You know, I'm thinking of all
I don't think Ohio. We don't have to go for the Vietnam protest songs.
That's
a whole other podcast. That's a whole other podcast. Like Tani said, watch what you're consuming, be conscious of what you're consuming, and, you know, remember that, you know, you're only one person, you can do what you can, and you have to keep, you know, yourself able to show up for your life and the life of the people around you, and community is going to be so important. So we're grateful to have you as our community.
Very much so. I'll say one addition. Volunteering was really helpful for, like, a really helpful way for me to feel like I was doing something about injustice. So whether that is physically volunteering, going to places, volunteering your services online, just getting involved. There's a lot of ways you can get involved. Help educate, help or learn. If you are so lost in this conversation and you're like, I don't even know what they're talking about, educate yourself, you know, like listen to, you know, read that book, read Twilight of Democracy, listen to some podcasts. Like there's a lot of information out there, but don't feel overwhelmed by it. The little breadcrumbs, and follow people who talk about politics. And you can learn a little bit more. It really is. This is one day at a time too, right?
It always is. Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. I hope this wasn't too heavy, but we really,
I know, we just had to address it. We really did.
We wanted to do our part of, like, we have a platform and we want to do the right thing and talk about the, what the year that this is going to be. And
yeah.
Take care of yourself. Ultimately, at the end of the day, take care of yourself so you can show up.
And reach out.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.